It's 88.5 KCSN, Nick Harcourt, your host. The morning show as we jump into the final 20 minutes of our program this morning. We've got live music. The Bell Brigade are here, Barbara and Ethan. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Great to meet you. Great to have you in studio. I know you're going to play a couple of songs for us, and then we're going to catch up and see what's going on. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Maybe you could tell us what the first track is.
Sure. This song is called When Everything Was What It Was.
All right. It's the Bell Brigade on the morning show. It's KCSN.
I don't want to move on, but I don't want to stay here. And if my life is a lie, all I see are the angles. And there's a fence around my yard. Don't want to go back in time, and I'm afraid of the future. Just wish that everything worked how I imagine it used to, when you were happy just because, when you were angry just because, when everything was what it was. Better not knowing, 'cause I'll be thinking way too much, and it will never be enough. Yeah, I'm avoiding it because when everything was what it was, when everything was what it was, when everything was what it was. Again, the truth can take your life.
This next song is called Metropolis, and it's about living in a big city, any big city.
People are glamorous. Everyone knows everything. They can read your mind, see what you did last night. Man, it's dangerous. Can't reveal too much. Can't conceal too much. You're just walking on that line. Just a game. I can't. can't play today. I think I'll waste away, spending all my time indoors. And everything I know, I don't know it anymore. And I've been wondering lately why I was ever born. What am I living for? But here I am, I've complained again, and it probably hurts my friends to hear me say that I'm alone. Well, I let them go when I am feeling low. Yes, I'm dangerous every time I every time I lose control, feel like I don't care no more. Then again, that's just today. Oh, tomorrow I'll be okay.
It's 88.5 KCSN. Nick Harcourt, your host on the morning show. And grateful to have the guys in studio this morning, Barbara and Ethan Gruska, collectively, brother and sister, and the Bell Brigade. So thanks for playing for us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Let's catch up a little bit. Have you been here before? We were just trying to figure out. I've only been doing the morning show here for about a year and a half, and I know you haven't been here during that time. No.
It's our first time.
So we're really happy you're here and breaking your duck.
So in
the valley, little English expression for you there.
If
I'd have said the American version, it wouldn't. I don't know. I'd be in trouble. But you were telling me when we met just a little while ago that you're originally from the valley, grew up in Encino, right?
Yeah, right down the street.
Here, yeah.
So not that far away from home. What? Tell us about your time as kids. I mean, what's the difference between you? Age difference?
6 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who's older?
I'm older.
All right.
Yeah. Barbara. When we were kids, we were, you know, living in different worlds, you know?
Yeah.
I was a kid for a long
magic.
Time. Let's put it that way. I'm kind of still a kid.
Yeah.
But we didn't play music together at all when we were kids. Kind of.
Did you play music separately?
Yes.
Okay. So Barbara, were you on percussion straight away? What was your thing?
Yeah, I started playing drums when I was 10.
Right.
Pretty much because I sucked at everything else. I played violin for a couple of years before that, and
right.
it was really hard to, you know, be like 5 inches away from a sound that you were making that was just the worst sound that you'd ever heard.
You started hitting the violin on things and realizing,
yeah.
Oh, it's a percussive instrument.
This sounds way better. Yeah.
Right. No, how did you get to it?
Honestly, it's kind of a cliche story, but I actually started banging on pots and pans and made like a, you know, I hung a pan lid from a pull-up bar and, kind of set up a makeshift drum set. And I played on it for a year. And by that time my parents were like, okay, it's been a year, so you can get a drum set now. And my uncle is a really great drummer, and he kind of gave me a hand-me-down Frankenstein drum set when I was 10.
So you're up and running at 10.
Yeah.
You're 4 at this time, right?
Yeah.
So you're not interested at all.
Yeah.
But,
he's wearing a Batman costume
I'm wearing
every
a Batman
day.
Costume. Yeah, I'm wearing a robe everywhere I go.
Saying my sister makes a noise.
Yeah.
When did music? I mean, you're from a musical family, which we can talk about if we want to. But when did the muse arrive for you?
I guess I started. I was kind of messing around on piano and guitar when I was maybe 13 or 14.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of instantly just started writing. I wasn't really practicing, you know, skills and technique. That didn't come until recently, actually. But I started writing little songs when I was 14, 15, and just kind of continued doing that.
Now, what was the connection between you guys growing up? I mean, did you hang out? I mean, was there just such a big difference that you didn't really spend that much time with each other? You kept a separate rooms or parts of the house?
Pretty much. Yeah. We really didn't get along
a lot. Our room was like across this, there was like a bathroom in between our room, and there was this air vent that was like would like connect our rooms, and I would just scream at her through nice. The air vent, like, "What are you doing? Let me into your room."
I would lock my door, and yeah.
So all right, we were kind of like that, and then luckily,
how did we overcome that? Well, what happened in your lives that all of a sudden you decided, well, maybe we have something in common here?
I think we both just grew up.
We grew up, and we gave each other, you know, the big second chance of just seeing who we actually are and not just carrying along our childhood baggage.
So well, you've done very well. You've done it very early. Most people have to get to their 50s before they get to that thing. Okay, I guess I'll be friends with my brother.
Yeah, it's right. Pretty lucky. It's good.
There's not much time left. But you made that decision early, and was music a big part of that? How did you decide to collaborate and write together?
I think music it wasn't a big part of it, but it was a part of it. You know,
we became friends again first, I think, for a mm-hmm. couple of years, and then we started the band together.
Yeah, but, you know, I was, like, I looked up to Barb so much because she was playing in so many bands in L.A., and I was just kind of starting to get in touch with music, and so, you know, she would sneak me into clubs and stuff and let me watch the shows.
He was my twin brother when he was 16.
Yeah. And we would go to clubs and I'd just watch her and we kind of would hang out in that way. And then a couple of years later, Barb was making like a demo record of some songs and I went and helped her. And we just kind of ended up deciding to add in a song or two that I had written, and it kind of started like that, just mixing separate songs, and then it kind of formed into a band.
Now, that was a couple of years ago, and ended up with the first album, mm-hmm. which came out in 2011, which brought you to people's notice, self-titled album. And I guess that's probably when we first started hearing the music here at the station, 2012, something like that. Tell us about that time and the attention that came your way, nice attention because of reviews and all that stuff, and then how that has impacted the new album.
Sure.
That time, I mean, it was amazing. We did probably a year and a half of touring and you know, I think that our experience of that time was kind of a classic experience of when you play the same songs for a year and a half, you want to then do something majorly different, at least maybe not majorly different, but to us, something that felt different. And so that was kind of how the second record came about. We got off the road and I think like literally a couple weeks after we got off the road, we went into the studio and started working on the second record. And we just wanted to have it be kind of more spontaneous and be more experimental with sounds and just have fun.
Did the songs come together more collaboratively on the second album? Or do you keep your writing separate?
It was actually a little bit, like, in terms of writing, less collaborative than the first record. I think we wrote two or three songs together, and Ethan wrote four and I wrote four. But the recording process is completely collaborative, and by the time we recorded the songs, it's almost as if, like, the way that we recorded them counts as writing them. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a lot of songs several times, which was kind of a main difference between this record and the first record. With the first record, we kind of recorded the basics and just stuck with them, and it was cool to do it like that. It was nice to work, but this time we would record a song and then live with it for a couple of weeks and then be like, let's do it again.
And would you record it in a completely different way?
Yeah, totally.
Rearrange it, change
the feel, change the chords, you know, just do different, just make a different version. And working like that was a pretty eye-opening, and I think that I mean that's how I would love to work.
We don't have too much time because we got one more song. But before we jump into it, I'm interested by what you're saying, because mm-hmm. clearly when you write a song and you write it as a demo and you just put the structure together, it can go anyway.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways it can go. And from what you're saying, you explored those. How do you settle on the final version of a song if you've got these very different recordings?
It was the last one we would do.
Totally. We just get sick of doing it.
Yeah.
You just simply get to the point where I think that's it.
Yeah, totally.
That in combination with the same way, I guess, you know, when a song is done, you know, it could never be done if you want it to not be, you know, so you just have to say, okay, this feels good and this captures now enough to be okay to put out.
So the new album is called Just Because, came out in February, and I know that you guys are heading out on tour next week, starting up in the Northeast. So good luck with you're going to wrap things up for us with one final song on the show this morning. What are you going to finish with?
We're going to play Ashes.
It's great to have you on the show. We're going to have this take us up to the top of the hour, and have a good tour, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
I love talking to the voice I've been listening to for so long.
Thank you.
How should we start this one?
Want to just
play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
One, two, three, four.
You light the fire. You don't keep it alive. It cools down and you get tired, and the red turns to white, and the ashes in the air can be collected and confined to the shade. Gets old and you stop trying, 'cause when it's down to the wire, all the ashes in the air can be collected and confined to the shade. To the shape we are.